Good morning. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "The word of God is alive, the word of God is powerful, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is piercing, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed, theonoustos, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says, "Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private interpretation, and no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, carried along by God the Holy Spirit, spoke directly from the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God as workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We come to Bible study for the refreshment of renewing, to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truths of the word of God so that we can bear fruit through perseverance in the study of the word. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind." So during Bible study, God the Holy Spirit prepares you in humility to receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to save your souls. Thank you for expressing your will with your presence. Thanks for being here to get another dose of truth, courtesy of the members of the Godhead, the ones who love you unconditionally. And as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to look back on the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with joy, and to see his actions and yours as the demonstration of unconditional love. May they be an inspiration for us all in such a way that we follow in the footsteps of our God. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, and it's a gift given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry for people who are interested in having a deep, intimate, and personal relationship, a passionate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is his infallible word. It is not a book. It is a supernatural communication, the exact communication of our God's mind, a book with no errors, with no contradictions, with no lies. The Bible is the absolute truth. It is the standard of truth in this world. We're today celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is something that we do as a congregation once a month. The Bible tells us to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. With one exception, that every month we stop to take a look back at the cross and to remember in memoriam what it is that the Lord and Savior did for us. Welcome to our guests. Welcome back, Mama Bear. Cheryl, it's good to see you. Yeah. Cheryl's tough. She just dropped the baby behind the tree and came back to church. That's it. Not messing around. So welcome back. Let's begin this lesson by taking an offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Alburn.
Good morning. I'd take a crumpled up dollar bill. I don't know. I would take one. God provides the word of God through his grace, and we've chosen to reflect his grace. Therefore, Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for anything at Barah Ministries. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the word of God free of charge. Gratitude for the word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. Romans chapter 1, Paul's resume, author. That's the title of the second lesson last week. This lesson that God gave Pastor Rory to teach perfectly hit my soul, and that's what I want to share this week. It challenged us to think of the way that we want to live this short life that we're blessed with here on earth. For me, the answer is simple. I want to affect other people's lives. There have been so many people in my life that has positively affected its course, and I want to pass that on. I want God to use me as an instrument of his work. I want people to have relationships with me to make decisions in part based on the influence that I've had in their life. I want people to be grateful that we were in each other's lives. I want to be able to confidently answer the question one day, what did you do with the life I gave you? And I don't want to do this to fill my ego, because Lord knows my ego is already too high. That's why he gave me Amanda, to humble me out daily. I want to do this. I want to live this life because it's the best way that I know on how to show God's love to others. That's what I'm focusing on dedicating my life to. I want to positively impact other people's lives. I want to push people. I want to lead people. I want to teach people. Again, I want to do this out of gratitude for God, because he has brought and he continues to bring other people in my life who do this for me. So Pastor Rory, there you go. That's my answer to the question that you asked last week. I want to devote my life to God by helping others learn how to live the Zoe life that God has given them. So thank you, And remember, it's these lessons by God coming from this pulpit that have inspired other people to live this life as well. So keep this in mind in your giving, and please remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture that each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Thank you.
Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration today is like a lamb led before the shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led before the shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. The Lord's Supper celebration is a gift to us from God who loves us unconditionally. And we may wonder from time to time what the ritual is all about, and why he asks us to keep on doing this in memory of him. It's a request from the one who is love for us to be reminded regularly of his unconditional love for us, because in our day-to-day struggles, we forget that. It's the first thing that human beings should be taught, in my opinion, that God loves you unconditionally. God created you, and he loves you unconditionally. And there is nothing you can do to disappoint him. There is nothing you can do to make him love you more. And there is nothing you can do to make him love you less. He is not a foot standing above your head waiting to come down on you. He loves you with a love that's inexpressible. So we tried to study unconditional love. I feared that that study would go on for two eternities and never be enough. It would never be enough to quite tell you how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, cares for you, considers your problems to be his responsibility. And so we spend this time during the Lord's Supper to look back at the cross. And we're instructed to do that. And we look back at the cross and see Jesus Christ, a picture of him when he hung there. What should we see? One thing, love, unconditional love. The cross is a reminder of unconditional love. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles In John chapter 15, verse 13, greater unconditional love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what our Lord did for all mankind at the cross. Everyone, whosoever, he laid down his life for his friends. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ's attitude toward all mankind and toward you personally. And there has never been a time in the history of divinity, in divine history, where he didn't have you personally in mind by name. And there never will be a time in divine history when he doesn't have you personally in his mind by name. And that is absolutely amazing. He sees all of his creatures as his friends. And the Lord's Supper is a table of fellowship designed by God especially for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reenactment of a portion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover celebration. And it is a commemoration of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. John chapter 19, verse 30 says this, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, tetelestai in the Greek, it is finished. Tetelestai. And he bowed his head and gave up his human spirit into the hands of God the Father. Tetelestai, it is finished. Salvation stands finished. Everything you need to have a magnificent life stands finished forever. Because that is exactly what the cross was all about. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. It is a report on the death of a servant God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 100% God, 100% man, and one person forever. The Lord Jesus Christ was disregarded by the race that he belonged to, the Jewish race. And Isaiah reports it here. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning at verse 1. It says this, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm, the strength of the Lord, been revealed? The Jewish race heard the message about Christ, and they saw his strength, yet they rejected it. And they rejected him. Isaiah 53, 2. For the Lord Jesus Christ grew up before God the Father like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. And he had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Said another way, he was just like a weed growing up in the desert. And if you've ever been out in the desert areas here in Phoenix and you've seen weeds growing up, you barely notice them. Because they're light and the ground is light. And that's what it was like for Jesus Christ. He was born in Bethlehem, and I have been to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is a tiny, nothing little town in a nothing area called Nazareth. And that's why Nathanael asked in John chapter 1, verse 46, can any good thing come from Nazareth? If it was today, they would say, can any good thing come from 37th and Michigan in Chicago? And the answer would be, oh yeah, baby, me. So he was born in obscurity. Isaiah 53:3, the Lord Jesus Christ was despised and forsaken of men. A man of sorrows, a man of anguish, and acquainted with grief and suffering. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised. And we did not esteem him. The nation of Israel, whom he has supported forever and will support forever, rejected their Messiah. Isaiah 53:4, surely our griefs, which is the consequences of our sin, he himself bore in his own body, and our sorrows, our anguish he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him. And which means, like it that he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We liked it that that happened to him. The people of his day did not think he was God, and they were happy that he was being beaten and tortured, and that he was ultimately crucified, and they thought that they were through with him. But 3 days later, they found out that they weren't. The nation of Israel and the Jews thought that Jesus Christ actually deserved his fate. Isaiah 53:5, but the Lord Jesus Christ was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we were healed, because that trip to the cross allowed Jesus Christ to earn you a chance to have a relationship with God, because at that time we were separated from God and helpless and hopeless to do anything about it. But Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way, to remove the barrier of the dividing wall, so that we could have a relationship with him forever and ever. For those of us that believe in him, these things brought us peace. It was a reconciled relationship with God, a peace where we know with absolute confidence that God has nothing against us, where we know with absolute confidence that we have the victory in every situation. Because if God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? And when we look at that cross, we see that our God the Father sent his uniquely born son to the cross to die so that each one of us could have a relationship with God. In our rush and hurry of every day, we don't even think about things like this, that the very breath we breathe could be turned off like that by the guy who created you, and yet he would never dream of doing it. He would sustain you. And even if you didn't believe in him, he would sustain you and let you breathe. I have a lot of friends who are atheists, and I always love that look they get in their face when they say with such contempt, "There is no God." And I always enjoy the look they have on their face after I tell them, "You're going to get a chance to be face to face with that God one day, and you're going to get to make your case. And when you do, he will treat you with the same unconditional love and the same graciousness that he has for you right this minute that allows you to reject him." That's an amazing God. An amazing God. And I hate religion, which perverts and distorts him and paints a picture of him that's absolutely false. That he is a God of punishment and of vengeance and discipline. No. No, he's not. Of course he disciplines. Every great parent disciplines. But if that's all you think about him, then you're completely missing the point. If your religion focuses you on sin, you're completely missing the point. Because your religion ought to focus you on what happened at that cross. Greater love has no one than this. Then he would lay down his life for his friends. Isaiah 53:6. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray with personal sins. What does that mean? We ain't got time for God. I don't go to church. You see, I'm not religious. I'm more like spiritual, but not religious. I don't go to church. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray from this one who created us with our personal sins. Each of us has turned to his own way. And as we turn to our own way, we simultaneously turn away from God's way because we think we have a better idea. But the Lord Jesus Christ has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on himself. Yeah, it's like a great parent. Kid does something stupid and the parent bails him out. He bailed us out. Take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. Continuing at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. It says this, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth to those who opposed him. He did not defend himself. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ was content with his fate. The cross is described as the joy set before him, and he was happy to shed his blood for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, by oppression, which is arrest, and judgment, which is sentencing, he was taken away. He was led to death on a cross. Crucifixion is the most horrid death in the history of the human race. And as for his generation, because he was in the prime of his life at 33, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, that he died for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? At the time, this is questioning, who in his generation thought that what he did was important? And the answer is, not many. Even the apostles didn't know exactly what it is he was doing. They were tremendously saddened by his crucifixion, and it wasn't until many days later, when he was resurrected from the dead, that it finally dawned on them what had happened to them over the last 3 years of being with him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, his grave was assigned with wicked men. He was scheduled to be buried with the two thieves on the crosses that were crucified next to him. Yet he was with a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, as it says in John chapter 19, verse 38. He was with a rich man in his death. Joseph of Arimathea offered his tomb, which was not yet used, for the Lord Jesus Christ's body to be entombed in. And, of course, there was another guy with him that we got to laugh at in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who became a believer in Christ. So he was with a rich man in his death because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Our God is a God of veracity. He always tells the truth, and there's never been a time when he didn't. Isaiah 53:10. But the Lord, and this is a reference this time to God the Father, was pleased to crush him, the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him to grief. If he, the Lord Jesus Christ, would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days into all eternity, and the good pleasure of the Lord God the Father will prosper in his hand. He went to that cross. Look at that part. He will see his offspring. He went to that cross for all those who would accept. He wants to see his offspring. He wants you as a believer in Christ. But he went to the cross too for whosoever, anyone who would want salvation could have it. Isaiah 53:11, as a result of the anguish, the suffering of his soul, God the Father will see to it that the Lord's propitiatory work on the cross, his perfectly and only satisfactory work on the cross, God the Father will see it and be completely satisfied by it. And God the Father's knowledge, and by God the Father's knowledge, the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. And we know that justification is this: he will walk through the heavenlies. And everyone who is a believer in Christ, he will announce them by name all throughout the heavens, so everyone will know that you are an absolutely righteous one. Isaiah 53:12, therefore I, God the Father, will allot the Lord Jesus Christ a portion of the spoils, the victorious proclamation, and the triumphal procession. In Roman times, when the Roman army would go and conquer a land, they would have a procession back into the city. And they would bring all of the booty with them, all of the spoils, and they would divide it up. Therefore, I, God the Father, will allot to the Lord Jesus Christ a portion of the spoils, a portion of the spoils with the great And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will divide the booty with the strong. And that's us, believers in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. The death on a cross of our Lord accomplished victory for all those who want to be saved, whosoever. He who believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son shall not see eternal life in heaven. The wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. But it's not God's will for any to perish, but for all to come to a change of mind about Christ. So what think ye about the Christ? So in the Lord's Supper, we look back to the cross and we see this unconditional love of someone willing to die for you. Therefore, following God's requests, we keep on celebrating Christ on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work at the cross, his voluntary sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we are grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this: I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I have delivered to you, so that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this. And when you do it for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this: in the same way, at the end of supper, he took the cup. And he said, then the cup represented his death on the cross. And after supper, he said, this cup is the New Testament in the sphere of my blood, because of my spiritual and physical death. Keep on doing this. And as often as you drink it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's what our Lord's Supper celebration is. It is a proclamation of our joy that he died on that cross to pay for every sin we'd ever commit, past, present, and future. They have been imputed to him and judged. And that 3 days later, after three full days in the grave, he was resurrected from the dead. And he is the only one who has been resurrected from the dead. So I say to all the pretender gods, did you rise from the dead? And of course they did not. And so what about Buddha? What about Joseph Smith? What about the Pope? Did they rise from the dead? Did they go to a cross for you? No. No. They didn't. Did any of the 8,000 Hindu gods go to a cross for you? No. There's one God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the magnificent Lord, and we celebrate him today. When we drink the cup, we remember his work. When we eat the bread, we remember his person. So please enjoy the bread and the cup, and as you do, we'll listen to the Lord's Supper song, which is Give Thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this, according to the Mosaic law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why are our sins forgiven? Is it something that we do? Never. It's what God did for us, our Father sending His Son to pay for our sins at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood, and that is the only perfect payment for sins. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say this, God the Father rescued us, believers in Christ, from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in His own body on the cross, His own body being His true humanity, so that we believers in Christ might die to the sovereignty of the sin nature and the cell structure of our body. If you are ever wondering why you can't keep a promise and why you always keep gravitating to evil, there's a principle inside of you called the sin nature and the cell structure of your body that gravitates you to evil. But He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in His own body and His true humanity on the cross so that we believers in Christ might die to the sovereignty of that pull, the sin nature, and live to absolute righteousness. That thing that was credited to you at the moment of salvation, that plus R, the stencil to your forehead, where you go to Home Depot and you get a black light and you shine it and you can see it. That's a joke. But it is your admission ticket to heaven. And the one who can see it is the one who put it there, our God. By His wounds we were healed. So you might say that because of the Lord's work on the cross, He remembers to forget. And that's going to be our final song. I just want to say one more thing before we close. We have the Coeur d'Alene Conference. And I said some things about it in the announcement section, but you know, I don't think I said quite enough. I think that one of the greatest gifts that a pastor can have is to have people listen to him. And so John and Monica Miller are those people. But an even greater compliment than that is for them to gather other people to listen. And for 3 years straight, I've been going up to Coeur d'Alene in August and standing in front of people who are positive to the Word of God. And it is an amazing thing. And the hospitality that John and Monica show those of us who went up there is amazing. I want you guys to join me up there next year. Now, one of the things that I have learned over the course of my lifetime is that it is perfectly okay for us to sit in a chair that flies through the air, and that you can do that multiple times in a year if you would like. And so I highly recommend that you sit in the same type of chair that I sat in, not in my chair, but in your own chair, on a machine that flies through the air, and go and see these other beautiful places. And Coeur d'Alene is a beautiful place. And Coeur d'Alene is a beautiful place in my mind because of the beautiful people, John and Monica Miller, who are our hosts. And they are the yeah, go ahead and clap for them. I'd appreciate it. And yeah, and I'm holding you to that. I heard that. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. The whole week. And it is just a tremendous place. And by the way, August is the time to be there. Don't be going up there in December. Right? A lot of white stuff up there in December, a little snow. But it is just a really beautiful and peaceful community, and I had a blast this week being up there and just being in a relaxing environment. You know, Monica's parents, Mike and Marilee Goodwin were there, and it's always a hoot to see them and to talk to them about the Word of God. And it was just a great time. I'm not going to get over that one anytime soon because it was awesome. So let's close. He remembers to forget. Come on up, Grandma. Grandma. So the funniest thing, we're at the conference and we had a break, and so I'm sitting down, and this little 8-year-old girl comes up to me, and she's very precocious and really a sweet girl. Her name was Jessica. And she says, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm fine." And she said, "Is that lady going to be screaming again?" And I said, who are you talking about? She said, "The one with the microphone. Is she going to be screaming again?" I said, "Oh, you mean June?" She said, "Oh, is that her name? Yeah. Is she going to be screaming again?" And I said, "Well, if you mean singing, yeah, she's going to be singing again." She said, "Yeah, she's kind of screaming because this room is kind of small and she's got a really loud voice." I said, "Well, she's a really good singer, so, but I'd like you to go tell her something if you don't mind." And she said, "What's that?" I said, "Just tell her to use her diaphragm." And she said, "No, I'm not going to do that." I said, "I'll give you a dollar." Did she come and talk to you?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Which proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that bribes always work. So to Jessica, thank you, June, as you close with "He Remembers to Forget." Would you please use your diaphragm? Get out of your throat. Because, you know, I got a 99 in pitch recognition, right? Yeah, so, all right.
Stumbling into sinfulness, we need.
then he'll remember you.
Take that, Jessica. That gave me goosebumps. That was amazing, June. Thank you. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross to demonstrate your love for us while we were your enemies. Thank you for your graciousness, and thank you for all the people that you surround us with who we get a chance to love, people who we get to reflect your love to. For all that are at the other end of this message, I pray that you might make time for God in your life and realize that your Creator created you and he wants a relationship with you, and that you might cut out a period of time every week where you come and hear about the good news, about all that he has planned, to separate yourself from the world and all of its woes, and to hear some goodness about how fantastic your life can be, because it was planned out by a God who is for you and not against you. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. I can only